Welcome to this edition of Stonebridge Soundbites. My name is Patrick Kincaid. I am the Regional Director at Stonebridge Capital Advisors. With me today is our Director of Fixed Income, John Lynn. John, welcome.
Well, thank you, Patrick. It's good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, fixed income, the markets have been better than they've been in a very, very long time. Bonds are back, right? It's pretty interesting, the situation out there, in that you can actually get into bonds and fixed income and find value there. And so we thought it might be a good time to have a conversation specifically on when might be a good time to have bonds in your portfolio, how they can be used in a portfolio, and then also what our process is in managing fixed income. So we brought John in and thought he could kind of guide the conversation a little bit on that specifically. So John, I think it'd be good for us to start with explaining the key terminology that's often associated with bonds in the fixed income market. Could you go through a little bit of that?
Yeah, so a couple of the key terms that we use in the bond market would be coupons versus interest rates. The coupon payment of a bond is the interest rate that it pays at issuance, and that can be either fixed or variable. If it's variable, it may be pegged to a floating rate benchmark. But either way, you're going to know at the issuance what that coupon payment is. And interest rates will fluctuate over the life of that bond. And the interest rate is what really determines the price of that bond. And when we're talking about price of bonds, oftentimes we'll talk about par value. And par value is really just pegged at 100 cents on the dollar or 100% of the par value. And so interest rates will affect how the bond is priced. If your coupon payment is 4% and prevailing interest rates are 5%, that bond is going to be trading at a discount or less than par to compensate the buyer for that discount coupon. You know, one of the other terms that we hear a lot in the bond market is yield or credit spread. And that really is just the difference in yield between the bond that you're purchasing and the benchmark rate. So oftentimes with taxable bonds, the benchmark is treasuries because that's the tax-free rate. And then what you can buy that corporate bond or the credit at is going to be your credit spread. So if treasuries are trading at 4.5% and you're buying a 5% corporate bond, it's a 50 basis point or 0.5% credit spread. And credit spreads can be thought of in terms of, you know, very high quality, which would be a very tight spread, to very low quality, which would be a wide spread. So if you're looking at high yield, it might be 400 to 500 basis points or 4 to 5% over what you would get in benchmark securities. And overall, we look at credit spreads really to get a feel for market expectations. So if overall credit spreads are pretty tight, that generally would signal that the market views economic expectations as being pretty rosy. And if you're starting to see spreads in general widen out, there could be some concerns about deteriorating credit quality. And then I think the last term that's really the big one for us is duration. Think of that as a time period, but really what it is, it's a measurement of your interest rate risk. And when I say interest rate risk, we're talking about how much volatility will that bond pricing see if interest rates either rise or fall.
Yeah, John, thank you. I think going over kind of those initial terminologies is so important as we build into a bigger conversation around bonds. I think probably the next logical step into this conversation is then, you know, why should an individual have bonds in their portfolio?
Yeah, so I think the main reasons for investing in bonds are really to generate income, you know, have a mechanism for a return of principal, and then really adding a less correlated asset class into a portfolio to provide more, you know, overall stability.
Yeah, in comparison, obviously, to having 100% in equities.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So in that case, who are the typical investors in bonds? You know, is it individuals at certain ages or is it institutions? What do you typically see for those that are having bonds in their portfolio and maybe what that allocation typically looks like?
Patrick, really, it's all of the above, right? I mean, you know, we get a lot of individuals and a lot of individuals invest in bonds. really over the course of their lifetime. Younger investors may have a very small or very little allocation to bonds, but as we age and approach retirement, you know, we want to increase that allocation to fixed income to provide a little bit more stability to that portfolio and really to generate income to ultimately live off of. So you can really see that allocation, you know, maybe shift over time as your income needs increase or, you know, as your risk tolerance gets a bit lower. So, you know, it's individuals, banks, and insurance companies, nonprofits, and other entities also will invest in bonds, some almost exclusively in bonds, just because of their risk tolerance or their income needs. So it's really, you know, as you're hitting on there, it's really all of the above. You know, it's just to the extent they're going to be allocated to fixed income.
So we've touched on a little bit of the terminology we used, who uses bonds. But I think the next thing that we hear so often in the media is bonds are back. That is what investors are saying. It's what financial professionals are saying. It's what everybody in the media is saying. What does that actually mean?
Well, that's kind of funny. I hear that question or that phrase tossed out there, and I kind of laugh as somebody that's really been in the bond business for years. Bonds never went away. What went away was yield.
Right.
So, you know, I think what that really means is that there's a return again on fixed income assets. And that's exciting for us, and it's exciting for investors. I mean, after living a decade and a half in the zero interest rate environment, you know, rates were just really uninspiring. I mean, you could generate some income off of bonds, but nothing like what we see today. So that's really gotten a lot of investors really interested in bonds again and investing in bonds. And maybe they were under allocated in fixed income, maybe over allocated in dividend income generating stocks. You know, they're getting those allocations back in line with their risk tolerances and where they should be invested. And maybe even investing in bonds when they hadn't originally had a need for it. I mean, when you start looking at 4.5%, 5.5%, that gets people excited again. So it's a fun time to be investing in bonds, I think.
So what is Stonebridge's focus when it comes to fixed income management?
Yeah, so we really have two main focuses or strategies when it comes to fixed income. We have a taxable and then a tax-exempt strategy. Both of them are investment grade. I'll talk a little bit about the taxable strategy, which is largely corporate and taxable municipal bonds, although we are opportunistic, so we will add other sectors when we find opportunities. But within that strategy, we're really diversified across sectors. And if you look at a bond portfolio, it will look similar to the way we manage on the equity side, where, you know, we're not overweight big sectors, but generally we're structured in a laddered or barbelled maturity fashion. So we largely take advantage of the sweet spot along the yield curve when we're making new purchases. And what I mean by that is we really try to kind of balance where we can get the most yield with also keeping our duration or our interest rate risk, you know, really kind of short to moderate. And then on the tax exempt side, we're structured really in a similar way to the taxable, where we're diversified across sectors and states. We do offer state specific if we have, you know, a specialty state resident where they live in a state with a very high income tax, they may want bonds exclusively from their state. But, you know, really our strategy is focused on diversifying nationally as well.
When it comes to, you talk about investment grade and you talk about a ladder or barbell strategy. Could you just break those down just a little bit more for us?
So maybe
start with investment grade.
Yeah, sorry, I threw out another one of those terms that I should have addressed earlier on. Investment grade, when you talk about credit, you've got investment grade and then speculative. And that really speaks to the credit rating that a bond or an issuer would get. And there's really just, there's a cutoff on investment grade is the safest credits that you can be in. And then as far as the barbell or ladder strategy, that really just speaks to how we structure a bond portfolio as far as which maturities to include. So a laddered would be really anywhere from 1 to 2 year bonds out to 10 year bonds, kind of evenly structured.
So you're essentially buying a bond that's going to mature in 1 year, then 2 year, then 3 year, then maybe a five and a seven or something like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And one of the big benefits from doing that is you have principal being returned to the portfolio, mm-hmm. really on a scheduled or structured or expected basis, so that you know you've got 10% of your portfolio coming due within a year to meet your liquidity needs, mm-hmm. or to reinvest if interest rates are higher in the future. And then that barbell approach that we were talking about will sometimes structure a bond portfolio with maturities that would look sort of like a barbell. So you're kind of heavily weighted on the short term and then also on the longer term.
Sure, sure. That makes sense, yeah. Well, John, thank you so much for joining me today. I think it was a great conversation. Very insightful, and hopefully our listeners enjoyed it. To all the listeners out there, thank you so much. We do love hearing from you. It's probably our favorite thing. So please give us a call at 651-251-1000. We enjoy the opportunity to talk with you about fixed income equities, really anything going on in the financial markets. That's what we're here for. As a reminder, you can always find all of our research and recordings at stonebridgecap.com/news and education. And again, thank you so much, John. Thank you to you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, and everybody else, have a great day.